All right, welcome to the Real Estate Marketing Podcast. My name is Jerome Lewis. I'm your host for today. The Real Estate Marketing Podcast is a podcast where we talk marketing, tech, business, and leadership. We talk these things for real estate agents, real estate investors, and real estate entrepreneurs. The Real Estate Marketing Podcast is a podcast that has two purposes. Purpose number one, to educate and inform our audience and listeners. Purpose number two, Nathan, to spotlight you, your business, your service, or your product in a way that provides value to you, including market exposure and content creation. With that, we have a very special guest, Nathan Turner. Nathan Turner is known across the U.S. as the Canadian Note Guy. Having run several businesses, including fix and flip real estate, he discovered mortgage notes and the opportunity they provide in the U.S. in 2009 and has since become a leader in the industry and the private investment sector. He is the president of Earnest Inc. and the manager of U.S.-based Earnest Investing LP Note Fund, where he actively manages assets for accredited passive investors with a focus on purchasing performing and non-performing first lien mortgages in the U.S. Nathan, I'm excited that you're here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So, Nathan, please, we went into a little bit of detail when I was reading your bio, yes. But you're Nathan. How did you get into real estate? Like, how did you become like the Canadian Note Guy?
You know, right time, right place. You talk to the right people and you just make connections when and where you can. So I got started. My real first introduction was 2008. It was a friend of mine also from Canada. He'd moved to California, met up with this group of investors who had bought a portfolio of properties, mostly centered in the Midwest. The problem was they bought this portfolio in April of 2007. So like right at the top of the market at that time. So by the fall of 2008, they knew they were in trouble. They knew they didn't have what they thought they had. They were supposed to just buy this portfolio, flip it out to somebody else. And of course, that all went sideways. And then they're in dire straits. So they approached my friend and he brought me on and said, you know, we don't know what to do with this stuff. We're way out here in California. We don't know anything about real estate. This was supposed to be a quick flip deal. Can you guys just figure it out? There's no operating budget and we're not going to give you anything except power of attorney over these properties, go for it. So we, a couple of Canadian boys, we thought we'd kind of invented seller financing. And that's kind of what was our approach, was we were going to take these properties, sell them on terms to people, create notes, and then sell off those notes to get out of them. So that was kind of my introduction to it. I started buying non-performing in 2010. And then just last year, I put together a note fund where we're buying mostly performing notes. So I've kind of done a little bit of everything over the years, and it's been a lot of fun.
Excellent. I'm excited to hear you talk today because you mentioned one of my favorite things. And a lot of people don't understand that you can buy real estate on terms. So What does that even mean? Help us understand what terms is, Nathan.
Oh, it's magic. So it's sometimes called creative financing, seller financing, seller carryback. It's got a couple of different names to it. But essentially, you're instead of buying a house for cash, you and the seller, you figure out how to do it on a monthly installment basis. So, and depending on the state you're in, it's going to be a little bit different. Everything's going to be just slightly, a little bit different everywhere you are. But essentially, kind of the industry term that we've gone with is contract for deed. That's kind of the most common way to do that is. So let's say you would like to buy a house that I own. I don't want to just sell it for cash. I would rather have monthly income on that. But I don't want to be a landlord because being a landlord is hard. And you got to take care of the property and you've got to manage the upkeep and all that kind of thing. So you want to buy the house. I've got this house. I'm going to say, all right, give me a down payment. And we'll set up a monthly payment with an interest rate, same as you would with a bank. But you don't have to go through the bank's qualification process. You just qualify with me and we come up with some terms that are mutually agreeable and you start making payments. So the advantage for me is I actually transfer title. Well, you can do it a couple of different ways. If we set it up as a mortgage, you actually own the house and I'm just collecting the payments. So all that upkeep, all the stuff that I didn't like being a landlord, that's not my problem. That's your problem. You're the buyer. You're the borrower. You live in the house. With a contract for deed, it's slightly different. I actually retain ownership of the house. I stay on title, but you as the borrower, you still make those monthly interest and principal payments. And then care of and maintenance of the property is your responsibility. But I retain ownership in case something goes wrong. I can then take back that property usually a quicker, easier process, and go out and do it again if I need to or whatever it needs to happen.
Thank you for sharing that. I get, so I have like this active role playing call where it's a bunch of agents and they are not accustomed to hearing about this concept. Yeah. And one of the questions that I get all the time is, I'm going to ask you, is like, is this even legal? They're like, is this legal? Can people do this? Could you talk about that?
Yeah, 100%. It's absolutely legal. There are some rules surrounding it. And if you're going to be, say for example, I own 10 properties and I want to sell them all on terms like that, that's fine, except there are some rules that were put in place in 2012, 2013 called Dodd-Frank. And so according to Dodd-Frank, I can only do 3 seller finance deals. So I can sell properties 3 times in a 12-month period on terms and carry back those notes. If I want to do more than that, that's fine, but then I have to go through an extra process. I have to use, it's called a registered mortgage loan originator, so an RMLO, and they have to basically give it their rubber stamp and say, yes, this person is qualified to be a borrower. They have the ability to repay, and then that's fine. It's not as terribly invasive process or terribly expensive, but just an extra step that you've got to take.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing that. We also hear this question, like, why would someone sell their property this way when they can get cash? Like, and I know there's a million reasons, but from you, Nathan, like, what are some of the top reasons or some of your favorite reasons, or just share some perspective on why people would do that in the first place?
Well, like you say, there are so many different reasons. Number one, maybe they just would rather have cash flow. They'd rather just, you know, they're fine with having payments over time. Another problem is maybe they're having a hard time selling the house for all kinds of different reasons. Maybe it's in a weird location, or it's, I don't know, something's up with the property. It can be easier to sell it on terms where it becomes somebody else's responsibility to do the upkeep or whatever it might be. Gosh, there's so many different reasons.
Right.
If you can do it as a strategy, it's actually a really great strategy. So say, for example, I've got a property that I'm going to sell for $100,000. If I cash today is great, absolutely. And that's a really good thing. But if I'm selling it on terms and I'm charging a 9 or 10% interest rate, over time, I'm collecting far more than that $100,000. So it's extremely profitable in that way. So that's another reason why somebody would want to do that.
Excellent. Thank you. And like we said, it's a million reasons. We never know. Some different people, not everybody needs cash. Not everybody wants cash.
Yeah.
So many different reasons. And we talked about that because I absolutely love terms, but I also want to talk about it because your expertise lies in notes. And now we're leaving my expertise a little bit. I don't know what a note is to explain it like you can as an expert. So help us understand, what is a note? And I know it's called a mortgage note, right? That's not the full term. Can you help us understand what a note is? And just talk about, like, what is a note?
Yeah, so this is where it gets cool. So when I first got started, my idea was I just wanted to sell these houses. That was kind of where I was starting from. They were properties in disrepair, we'll say. They had some challenges, and I didn't have an operating budget. So we were selling them on terms, creating contracts where the buyer is buying it on installments. They're making monthly payments, and at the end of the term, at that point we hand over the deed and they become the owner. Now, the cool thing with that is, number one, I didn't have to do any upkeep to the property. That's the problem of the person living there. Number two, once I've got this contract, that's a note. So whatever it is, that contract that says they're going to pay this much over this much time at this interest rate, at this place, like all of those terms that go into that contract that you created, that's the note. And that note, what I didn't know until I started getting into this a little bit, you can sell that note. Guys like me, I don't want to go through all of that beginning work. It's a lot of work, and I don't really want to own the property if I don't have to. So I would rather just buy the note. So I don't want the property, just the piece of paper that's attached to the property that allows me to collect payments over time.
Okay. And with, like, there's pros and cons to everything. What are some of your favorite pros with buying the notes? I heard you mention some of them. Could you talk about some of your favorites?
Yeah. I started doing fix and flip when I first got started in real estate. And then I moved into being a landlord for a little bit. And the more I've gone along, the more I've realized I don't actually want to own property. It's hard work. You got to do stuff to it. You got to take care of it. And there's taxes and there's things that you're responsible for. When I buy a note, I'm just collecting cash flow. That's it. I'm not responsible for upkeep of the property. I'm not even responsible for paying the taxes. All I'm doing is collecting payments, and my security is that property. So it's kind of a little bit of a different twist on real estate. I like to kind of think of it like a bit of an advanced strategy in real estate.
Okay. It is definitely advanced, and I like to call it advanced myself, because when we think about real estate, I heard some people talk about notes before, but typically when we think about real estate, we're thinking about the sticks and the bricks is what they call them.
Exactly.
Yeah. And the notes is, what do they call it, the notes? They call it the paper, right?
Paper. That's it.
Yeah. So
that's that's one of the cool things is I'm not buying, you know, a future potential profit. So sometimes, like a fix and flip, for example, so I'm getting into a property, I'm going to do some repairs, and at some point in the future, I'm hoping to be able to sell it for X amount at some kind of a profit. All kinds of things can happen in that time. We've seen it over the years. Cost of materials goes up, property values can drop, and all these things can happen while I'm working on the property. So that versus I'm just buying a set contract. The terms have already been set. The person's already been making payments. That's what I'm stepping into. So I love that idea that I can just go into it knowing with very good accuracy. And of course, things can still happen, but I know with very good accuracy what it is I'm buying. It's immediate income. It's starting to come in right away. So I love that concept. I love that that works so well.
Excellent. Thank you for sharing it. And before I move on to like some other questions, you are involved with like a national real estate event, right? Could you talk about that and tell us how we can get access to that, join your, you know, learn more about notes and what it is that you're doing?
Yeah, for sure. So my first note conference, there are note conferences out there. My very first one I went to was in 2009, and I just blew my mind, opened my eyes so much to this whole industry that this exists. Fast forward years and years, last year, I actually took over one of the major note conferences that were out there. So last year was the first time that I ran it. It was the 8th annual. This year is the 9th annual, and we're running it for a second time, my wife and I, and we are so excited. It is just the greatest place to come together to meet with other people that are in the business, people who are creating notes, where they're buying property and selling on terms and selling. People who have been doing this for years and years and have giant portfolios. At the same time, you've got the guy that's brand new and doesn't know anything about notes. So it's a fantastic place to come together. And we throw in some fun activities just to be able to get people to get to know each other and get to know, you know, that whole know, like, and trust thing. We can help with the first two. The trust one, that's your job. You're going to have to earn that.
Okay. How can we get access and learn more? Like, how can we attend that event? It's an annual event, right? So it's once per year?
Yeah. We do the first weekend in June. So this year it's a little bit odd because it's May 31st and June 1st. It's okay. In Nashville, Tennessee. And the name of the conference is Diversified Mortgage Expo. So if you just go to diversifiedmortgageexpo.com, all the information is there. You can get your tickets and whatever else and learn a little bit about notes right there and see who all is going to be there. I highly recommend.
How often have you been attending this event?
Right from the beginning. So this year's the 9th annual, and I've been there since the beginning.
Okay. What is your favorite part about attending the, if you had to pick like one thing, I can give you two. Pick two things. What do you like most about attending this event and the experience?
So number one is the networking. People ask me all the time, so, okay, great, notes sound great. Where do I find these notes for sale? Conferences. Okay. Absolutely, conferences. You go there, you network with people, and you start talking to people and sharing your story and what you're looking for, and other people do the same, that's where you find it. That's how you get deals.
Okay. Excellent. So I have more questions. Sure. I would like to hear, can you tell us about your, I think you may have hinted on it, but tell us about your first note deal. Sure. I think you talk about it was like a portfolio, but tell us in more detail. Talk about your first note deal. Then I got a couple more questions about some other deals that you've done.
Sure. So there have been a few different firsts. So the first was selling this property on terms. So we had these properties, like I say, they were not in great condition, mostly in the Midwest, Ohio, Michigan, Indiana, and rough. And so I was going down there and saying, okay, here's what we can do. So average rent in the area, call it $500. So I actually would put, I had a vinyl printing machine at home. And so I printed up a sign that I put on my rental car, said own a home for less than rent. And that was kind of our tagline. So we would say if local rent is $500 a month, we'll charge you $400 a month to buy this property rather than just renting it. So you're becoming an owner as like with every monthly payment, you're becoming an owner of this property. And we would set it up so that you could have it paid off within, I think we usually put it over 10 years. And then that was your own, this property free and clear. It's not your house. Off you go. You're off to the races. So we did that a number of times, and it was so rewarding to be able to help people. You know, we'd talk about the American dream, about just home ownership and how oftentimes that's out of reach for people, but that's kind of how we got started. We were able to do that, and people were able to own a home for less than they would pay in month. And monthly, as if they're renting.
Thanks. That sounds like an amazing story. My next question was, you might have answered it, but I wanted to hear about your favorite case study or your favorite note deal. Is it the same, or do you have another one for us?
Actually, I've got another one. So this was kind of another first. So 2010, I started buying what they call non-performing notes. So that's where people were not making payments on their mortgage. So that back in those days, if you think back a little bit, there were a lot of those. There were a lot of people that had defaulted on their mortgage, and banks were selling those off really cheap back then. So I, as an experiment, I bought a small package, three of them. So in Columbus, Ohio, found out that the lady that owned the property, she had bought it with her boyfriend as a rental property. And it seemed like a good idea at the time, back in probably 2006, right at kind of the height of everything, you could get a mortgage real easy. And then, so she still lived in town. And so I took a friend with me, and we went over and knocked on her door. She didn't live in the property that I was concerned with. She lived somewhere else. So we went, knocked on her door and said, okay, this is who I am. I own the mortgage now, but I don't want your house. Or sorry, I'm not here to collect any payment. I just want the house. So if you're willing to just sign it over to me, we'll make the mortgage disappear. And the coolest thing, I hadn't thought of it in these terms, but I was absolutely solving a problem for her. She broke down in tears, and she's like, really, are you serious? Like, you'll make it all go away? And it hadn't really occurred to me just how much of a headache this has been for her, where she and her boyfriend had broken up, like all those kinds of things, right? And so it was just, I'm sure she was getting phone calls and letters and worried about this problem house that she had on her hands that she didn't know what to do with. So I was there absolutely solving her problem, and at the same time, helping myself as well, where now I had this property, ended up renting it, which was great. We got, made our money back in spades on that one. And that was fantastic. But that was the moment, a big, light bulb moment, where I was like, oh my goodness, I hadn't thought of those terms where I was helping solve this lady's problem, where this had been something that she'd been worried about for months.
Thank you for sharing that, because I have a very similar situation, but I also deal with people and they're like, why would people do this? And it's like, it's so many reasons on why people do this. But the situation I'm talking about is in Las Vegas, and very same situation, the boyfriend and the girlfriend just wants to get out. The boyfriend's staying in the house. She's like, I don't want any money. I want it to go away. And it's so similar what you're saying versus what I'm dealing with right now.
Yeah. and their answers, and we can be a great solution for people. That's
yeah, great. Excellent. I'm glad that, because most people can't. There's a big mortgage on the property. The property's worth like $750,000. Mm-hmm. They just got in there about 2 years ago. There's like no equity. It's like not much you could really do. So it doesn't, like, some situations can't be handled by just the traditional sell it outright. Right. So, Nathan, what's a common myth about, you know, like notes and mortgage? What's a common myth that people have about that, you know, what it is that you do, your expertise, your field?
Well, there's a few. I'll pick one. So one that I like to talk to
you. You can give us a couple. So you got three?
Sure, I can do three.
Yeah, give us three. Yeah.
All right, number one. Just because you've done real estate does not mean that you can do notes. It's not just like a step across. It's not real estate. What we're doing is not actually real estate. We're buying paper that's attached to real estate, but it's a different game. This is a finance game. It's a different set of rules. Like, you have to know what you're doing in that way. And so I'm not even a teacher. I'm not even trying to promote myself that way, but I can hook you up with people that will be happy to teach you, and they do a great job, good friends of mine. But no, it's a different game. So you have to know the rules. It's not real estate. It's real estate adjacent. That's myth number one. Number two is it's really easy. Kind of. There's, like I say, there's different rules. There's different things you need to know. So number one, you've got to learn the rules, and you've got to learn how this business works. Because like I say, you can't just step into it if you've been a landlord or something like that, that's great, but this is not the same thing. So the difference between simple and easy, right? Like, is it simple? Sure. Yeah. Is it easy? Not always. It really depends on what you're doing. Number three, I think I would go with, sometimes I think we can be seen as the bad guys, where we're just there to kick people out of their house.
Yeah.
Not even close. Our the vast majority of note investors, we're actually there. Number one, we want to solve a problem. Number two, most note investors don't want the property. So we're actually extra motivated to help the person stay there if they're having problems or whatever. But that we're just there to help solve a problem. We're there to make money. We want to get monthly payments. That's our goal, not taking over the property and keeping people out.
Thank you for sharing that. This is, I'm happy with this episode because I'm getting like the questions, which I know the answer to, but to get another perspective, I'm going to be so happy to share this to people that are like, why would they do this? Why? It's like a million reasons. Check out this podcast episode that I did with Nathan. Yeah. So, if someone's starting out, like, it's probably if they're coming from my podcast or my world or something like, they're like, I want to do some notes. They're coming from real estate somewhere, they're like, I'm getting started in notes. What's one piece of advice you would give that person to have success, early success in the note field?
Well, here's the thing. It's a really small niche industry. So you can go online and you can start researching and learning. There is some information out there, but there's not a ton. It's like I said, it's not real estate investing. So you're not going to find a ton of things online. But reach out to somebody like me, whether it's me or somebody else, but reach out. I'm happy to get people started. Conferences. I know I have my own, and so I'm self-promoting, but I'm a huge fan of conferences. I go to several a year besides my own because it's so important to just get out there and meet people and network and start building your own network.
So tell us again, like, what's the best way for us to reach out to you? Like, I'm on your email list. How can we get on your email list? How can we reach out to you? How can we learn more about Nathan? And I know it's a lot of questions, but I want to hear it all. And how can we also learn about the Diversified Mortgage Expo? So tell us how we can get access and learn about those things.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you my email address, nathan@earnestinvesting.com. So Earnest Investing is my fund. That's kind of my primary thing. The conference is my side gig. It's a lot of fun to do and I enjoy it, but it's really a side gig. My number one thing is my fund. We're raising money for that, and then I go out and buy performing notes these days, and that's just much easier to deal with and much more predictable. So that'd be the number one way. Send me an email or give me a call, 312 860-3747. I'm happy to just chat and answer whatever questions you've got, point you in whatever direction you need to go.
Thank you for sharing that. Tell us about the, I know you said the expo is a side thing, but I'd like to hear that. And I've learned so much from expos, but not only that, I built such strong partnerships and connections by attending events like this. So I would love for you to talk more about that event. Even though you mentioned it, I want you to say it again so people know how they can get access and come learn about notes or something note adjacent, right?
So yeah. And so like I say, when my wife and I took it over, it's really important when you're meeting people, if you've got something to talk about, right? And so one of the things we do, so like I said, the conference is May 31st, June 1st. On May 30th, the night before the conference, we actually have a really fun activity, we'll call it. So we do an axe throwing tournament. So you sign up for the conference and then including your ticket is come and throw axes with us. And it's a blast. We all get together. You can either spectate or participate as a competitor, and you compete with other people there that you've just met for the first time, and you're throwing axes together at these targets. Nobody's really good at it, but that's what makes it fun. And it's just a blast. It's a great place to just get together, meet people, and have a good time. And that's where relationships start, is just getting together and having a good time like that. And there's, you know, other things. So like in the afternoon on the first day, we do an ice cream break. So we've got a 45-minute networking break where we serve Ben and Jerry's ice cream. So come and get some ice cream. And again, it's just a fun way to get together and chat with people and, oh, what kind did you get? And you can just chat about ice cream for a little bit. And then it kind of transitions into, and what are you doing for work? And what are you looking for? And how can we help each other? That's how that happens. So that's a big focus for me is the networking part of it, because I know it's so important. I've put a major emphasis on that for the conference. So it's a big deal. Make sure you come out and just meet people, talk to people. It makes a big difference.
Thank you for sharing that. What is one lesson you've learned over your career being in notes that you think everyone should learn, regardless of their field or industry?
Oh, just that I think one of the biggest lessons I've learned over the years is there's an answer. We just need to find it. And there's so many different ways that you can approach a problem. And if you're not sure how that works, then contact somebody else and talk it through and just brainstorm together. How else could we figure this out? And just, in fact, this morning, I was talking to somebody yesterday where we're trying to get a deal done and funding wasn't going to pan out just with timing. So I was talking to another friend and then she came in this morning, called me back and said, oh, hey, I think we've got an answer for you. I think we can get it done this way or that way. So there are solutions. So just reach out, figure it out, whether it's just by yourself or with a partner or somebody, but there's an answer to whatever question you've got.
All right, Nathan, how can this question is intentional because sometimes I get people on and they just want to go pick someone's brain for like free. And I'm not really an advocate of that. I understand some people's like, oh, just ask me anything. But I like for people, like you said, people should have something to talk about. So if somebody's going to come to Nathan, I want them to have something to talk about. Or I want them to bring you some kind of value. So that's what this question is about. Like, how can someone add immediate value to you or your business so they can maybe ignite or have a conversation with you to learn more about notes?
So the two major parts of my day are either raising capital or looking for notes. Those are kind of the two big things. So if you've got a line on either one of those things, that's going to be a good start. If you've got capital or if you know a way to get capital, great. I'm always looking for more capital because there's always more deals out there. But then the other half of that is finding those deals. So if you are somebody who has created a note, or if you're wondering about how to do that and what that would look like in, if you created a note and wanted to sell it, would I be willing to pay for it, or how to structure it so you can get top dollar for it? For sure. That's something we can talk about.
Okay. All right, Nathan, I appreciate your time. I'm going to get us wrapped up. I call this the closing table because we know real estate. Yay. Right. So. Yeah. What are three books you recommend to the audience and why?
Three books, man. Great question. All right. if we're talking about notes in particular, I would say kind of the Godfather book that is a really good one is called Invest in Debt. And that's by Jimmy Napier. It's probably from like the late 70s, early 80s. I actually had a little bit of a hard time finding it, but I've got myself a copy, and that's a great one specifically about notes. If you want to talk about something like mindset, a really great one is The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. That's a really good one, just about little changes over time can make dramatic differences. That's a really great one. And then let's see. For just for fun, a book that I read here just in the last, probably 6 months ago, is called A Gentleman in Moscow by Amor Towles. And what a great book. I just heard just here in the last little bit that they're actually going to make a TV or a series about it or a movie or something like that on Paramount Plus, I think it is. But Gentleman in Moscow, just because it's a good story about a good guy, and it's just inspiring.
Right. Thank you for sharing those. Nathan, where can listeners find out more about you online?
Check out my website. So either earnestinvesting.com or diversifiedmortgageexpo.com. Either one of those will point back to me.
Excellent. And if you could close us out with one word, no explanation, what word would that be?
Reap.
Reap.
Yep.
All right. Tell us why.
Reap what you sow. That's my okay. That's my year. That's my my overarching word for the year for my goals.
Last spoken year like a true investor.
Yeah, last year was a lot of setup. This year's reaping.
All right, Nathan, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you. I'm gonna get it closed down, and I want you to sit here for another 3 minutes so I can wrap us all the way up. All right.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thank you, Nathan. I appreciate your time.
My pleasure.